All right, Psalms chapter 112, and this is a Bible study that I've done. I did a few months ago, or a few weeks ago, in my personal Bible time, and it just if you that have studied a series or a chapter and go verse by verse, after a while, as you dig into it, you're like, I've been in this verse for many days, right? Because God keeps giving you more and more within that. And let me get a sip of water here. I got cold brewed coffee and I got water. I'm going to choose the water here. That stuff will make me too thirsty. All right, Psalms chapter 112. And I have notes for literally just verse 1. And so we'll see how far we get. And I'm not going to go very long, but I do want a multifaceted sermon here, but going verse by verse and just driving some truths home and to all of us and to all ages. So let's just read verse 1. Actually, we'll read verse 1 and 2. Psalms chapter 112. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would just drive home, God, what we need to hear and what your word talks about and speaks to us, Lord. I pray for those here tonight, God, that they would search their hearts, and God, that you would encourage us through your word and help us to be better Bible students, to be better studiers of your word, and God, to dig and mine in God's word for the truth that will help us in our lives. We thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, when I was a young person, after I was saved at the age of 15, after growing up in a Christian home and realizing that I was lost, and the Holy Ghost conviction fell upon me. And after that, I looked at my Bible reading differently. And it wasn't necessarily a sermon series. It wasn't a certain topic, a certain preacher, but it was the Holy Ghost, right? As I read God's word, and I wanted to get something from it. And you young people here today, if I can challenge you that at a young age, when you open your Bible every day, you say, God, give me one thing from what I read today. You know, sometimes we think we have to get a whole sermon out of one Bible study, 10, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, however long each day. And what we do is we discourage ourselves from getting something from God's word, because we read one verse and then we think to ourselves, I don't understand exactly how that applies to me, right? And so we kind of, in our mind, mentally shut the Bible and then we just move on. But when you ask God, the author of the word of God, you ask him to teach you something. You say, God, please give me something from your word. He will. There's been times that I've done a word study on one word, right? And it wasn't 30 minutes later, I'm still investigating that one word throughout scripture. Pastor Cooley does it all the time when he preaches. And so today we're just going to kind of do a Bible study together. Of course, I prepared it, but I want you to give you some ideas. Or challenge you and encourage you to be that person, right, that gets a notebook out. And while you're studying God's word, reading God's word. And what really challenged me, this is probably 12, 13, 14 years ago, that I started to just write down the Bible verses. You see your pastor do it all the time, right? He talks about in those days, difficult days of depression, just writing God's word out. Because you know what writing does? You have to look at that word to write it, unless you're really good blindfolded, okay? You have to look at it. So not only are you mentally reading the word, you're writing the word down. You're actually taking like a double picture, a double exposure of that same word, right? So writing down what you read. Plus, it helps you have better penmanship, right? I mean, you write down what you read. So here in Psalm chapter 112, and I know I think I preached a message before on praising God, but the Bible says, praise ye the Lord. So in your Bible study, what's the first word we look at? Praise, right? So what does praise mean? I'm glad you asked. Let's read it. Praise in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, commendation bestowed on a person for his personal virtues or worthy actions. Now, who are we going to give praise to in this phrase here? To the Lord, right? That's who we're going to give praise to. We're going to give God praise. We're going to give him commendation bestowed upon him for his personal virtues, his worthy actions, or unmeritous actions themselves, or in anything valuable. Approbation expressed in words or song. Praise may be expressed by an individual, and in this circumstance differs from fame, renown, and celebrity, which are the expression of the approbation of numbers or public commendation. When praise is applied to the expression of public approbation, it may be synonymous with renown. What is praise? To commend, to applaud, to express of worthy actions, to honor. So when we praise God, when you see that phrase in the Bible, it says, praise ye the Lord. Well, it's an understood you, right? Praise ye. Ye is the you. You are the reader. We are the reader of this passage. And it says, you praise the Lord. Okay, so we read that. Do we stop and we're like, okay, God, I'm going to praise the Lord, right? How do we praise the Lord? We tell the Lord of the good things he's done for us. Praise God for your health. Praise God for running water. Okay? Things that we take for granted here in this country. Praise God for electricity, right? Which hopefully the lights stay on tonight in the storm, right? Praise God for that. Praise God for our health. Praise God for life. We're alive. Praise God we don't live in Ukraine, where a lot of people are losing their lives and their whole livelihood. Praise God for what he's done. Praise God for who he is. God, thank you for being patient with me, right? Praise him for it. Thank you for having grace on me today. Thank you for the food that I eat. Praise and thankfulness go hand in hand, right? So the Bible says here, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. So we looked at the word praise, what that means, right? Psalm 150 verse, let's turn to Psalm 150. You turn there, I'm going to grab another drink of water here. Praise ye the Lord. There's a whole chapter on praising God. Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament or his power. So God is telling us how we can praise him right here, right? Praise him for his mighty acts. Has God done a mighty act in your life this week? Has he done a mighty act in your life since you were born? I think everybody can probably think of one mighty act God did in your life. He saved your soul, right? He reached way down in the miry clay. You had no way to pull yourself out of that miry clay, but he reached way down, like that song. I like that song. He reached way down for me, right? He lifts us up out of that miry clay. That's a good start to praise God. Amen. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. If you're a musician, if you can play, praise God with your music, right? Don't play to be recognized or to be applauded by men, but play your instrument in praise to God, right? You that have a voice, which is everyone here, you can sing. Your mouth, your vocal cords are an instrument of praise. That's where congregational singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing on your own, singing when nobody else can hear you, right? Driving down the road in your car, singing, right? Working in the kitchen, whatever it may be, doing the laundry, out in the yard, taking a walk, singing verbally, outspoken to God. That's praising God. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So when we read a verse of scripture in Psalms 112 that says, praise ye the Lord, that means we need to praise the Lord, right? And that should encourage you to think, okay, God says to me, because, hey, by the way, you're reading the Bible, but God is speaking to you personally. This is not a corporate verse to an invisible group of people. This book is to you. So you can turn it around and say, your name, Andrew, praise ye the Lord. So God's commanding me to praise the Lord. If you're reading it, he's commanding you to praise the Lord. Personalizing God's word, right? Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. So let's look at the next phrase here. Who is the Lord? The Lord is the supreme being. There's only one Lord, amen? One God. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. What is blessed or blessed, however you pronounce it, means? All right, so the definition. So if you're sitting down reading your Bible, I recommend having a dictionary, the Webster's 1828. We all recommend it highly, electronically or in print. Have that right next to you. Have your notebook and have your Bible out. Right? I'm telling you, when you're engaged in your Bible reading, you're reading those words to know what it means. That's when God's word comes alive, right? Because we don't have every word memorized. Anybody in here have a photographic memory? Okay, I definitely don't. If I did, my camera's definitely broken, okay? I do not have a photographic memory. That's why God's words should be read every day. Because we can't remember what we read probably yesterday unless we write it down, unless we study it. But that's why God's word needs to be read, digested every day. You don't eat once for the whole week, right? I mean, sometimes the amount of food we eat on Sunday, it might seem like we're eating for the whole week, right, brother? But we're not. We have to eat every single day. We have to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or we two meals a day, whatever it may be, whatever your diet calls for. We have to eat daily. We have to read God's word daily because otherwise we forget, right? Because we are finite beings, because we are frailed dust and flesh, we forget what God commands us to do. Okay? How many of you children out there sometimes forget what dad said to do? And then you get in trouble. You're like, oh, I forgot. Why did you forget? Well, because it's been a long time since I heard my dad say that, right? So then your mom or dad reminds you of what they said, what their commandment was before. So when you're reading your Bible, have a dictionary with you. Have a notebook with you or a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen and have your King James Bible with you. Amen? So blessed in the Webster's Dictionary means to make happy or made happy or prosperous, extolled, pronounced happy, prosperous in worldly affairs, enjoying spiritual happiness and the favor of God, enjoying heavenly felicity. So that's what blessed or blessed means. Blessed means to make or happy, but spiritual happiness, right? Spiritual happiness. Have you been happy because of God's word today? Has God's word made you truly happy in him, right? That's blessed is that is the man. Blessed is the man. You are the person. You are the one that God is speaking to. Blessed is that is the man that feareth the Lord. Well, Lord, I want to be a blessed man. I want to be a happy, spiritually happy person. All right? I want to be a spiritually happy person, right? Happy is the man, or prosperous is the man, right? That word blessed or blessed, right? Well, the Bible goes on to say in this phrase here, blessed is the man. Well, how can I be that blessed man, that blessed man? The Bible goes on to say, that feareth the Lord, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom, and then there's a phrase that says beginning of knowledge, right? It starts with that fear of God, okay? Is the fear of God a fear of shadowing and fear of being punished? Or I think, no, it's not. So let's look up the word fear, okay? So you're on your Bible study, you come to that word fear. Maybe you think you know what it means, but why don't you grab your dictionary, look it up. Here it is. Here's the definition. Feareth. Fear is used to express a filial or slavish passion. In good men, the fear of God is a holy awe or reverence of God and his laws. So there we go. That's what the fear is talking, God, that our feareth here, is reverence towards God, right? Which springs from a just view and a real love of the divine character. That's who God is. Remember, we're praising God for who he is. Leading the subjects of it to hate and shun everything that can offend such a holy being, and inclining them to aim at perfect obedience. That's the kind of fear of God we should have, that reverential fear of God and his laws. Are you fearful of what will happen in your life if you don't obey God's commandments? That's a good fear, right? You that drive in heavy traffic or dangerous traffic, you're going to stay between those lines and you're going to obey those speed limit signs and those yield signs on the highway, right? Because you fear what will happen if you don't stop at that red light, okay? You fear what's going to happen if you don't stop at that stop sign. Well, I just don't want to get a ticket. No, you don't want to get T-boned and go into all eternity because somebody else didn't have to stop at that stop sign, right? So that's a proper fear. It's a proper respect. But the same with the Lord. God is a holy and just God. God will not give exceptions to his laws, right? But thank God, because of Christ, we're covered with the blood of Christ. Amen. What a relief that is as a Bible-believing Christian, as a child of God, that God covers us with his blood and we are free in Christ. Amen. But fear of God is that reverence of him and his laws. So what is fear? Fear is also the worship of God. Blessed is the man that has a holy awe and reverence of God. Is that you? So when we read God's word, we ask ourselves questions, right? God, is that, if is God, God, would you see me as a person who fears you? God, do I fear you like I should? So remember, we're not just reading this book for a textbook. We are reading it because it's reading us, right? We are standing before the attorney, if you will, the judge, and we're getting drilled down and trying to find evidence in our life of us being a Christian, right? Have you ever heard the phrase, if we were to stand before men who accuse us of being a Christian, would they find enough evidence to prove that true? The sobering thought. If I was on the stand today being accused as a Christian, obviously we understand what I mean. Would they find enough evidence in my life to find me guilty of being a Christian? I pray that our whole lives we would strive to be that kind of Christian. Amen? So blessed is a man that has a holy awe and reverence of God. Blessed is that man that has reverence for God's laws. That's what this passage is talking about. What is blessed? Blessed is spiritual happiness. How about spiritual happiness of the man that feareth God and obeys his commandments? See how we can put those meanings of those words into that phrase and we can help bring more understanding to it. We're not adding to God's word, we're explaining God's word, amen? That's what studying is. Study meanings of words. Study what that means. Study how does that apply to me? How can I be a better Christian? Right? And God will, as you ask the Holy Ghost, he will teach you. He will explain it to you, right? Through his word. All right, so we're going to flip through some verses here. Keep everybody wide awake. Psalm chapter 1. We're going to look up a few verses here about that word blessed. So when you're doing your Bible study, if you get to a word blessed, you're like, okay, I understand what the dictionary talks about. I understand what that verse is talking about with that word. Now I want to see that word in other areas of Scripture, right? So then you do a word study. You get a concordance. If you have a concordance, you go to a Bible app. There's a couple of good ones we recommend that you can go to that app, type in that word, hit search, and it'll show you everywhere in the Bible where that word is used. Right? So that can further, the Bible explains itself, right? The 1828 dictionary is not inspired. It's a dictionary, right? But God's word is, amen? And God's word explains itself, okay? So let's do this in our Bible study here tonight, Psalm chapter 1. We're going to find a verse that uses the word blessed. or blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We'll just stop with that one verse. Blessed is the man that does what? Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, Lord, I want to be blessed. I want to be a Christian that is blessed by you, truly blessed by you. So God explains how another way you can be blessed of him. Let's turn to Psalm 32. Okay, so we're looking up another verse that has the word blessed or blessed in it. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Amen. That's us, right? Amen. That's you and I here today. Blessed. So we're already blessed because we have Christ's blood on our soul, that we are forgiven, right? We're blessed because of that. Verse number 2. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. That is how God has blessed us, right? We are blessed. We are that person. Psalm 33, verse number 12. Turn over to that passage. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Psalm 34, verse 8. Here's another passage. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Well, I want to be blessed by God, right? I want to be that blessed man, that blessed woman. I want that to be me. What does God say? Right there. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Well, isn't that hard to do sometimes? Right? If you that are math experts, and you look at your bank account, and the math ain't good, that great, okay? That can be discouraging, right? But then trust has to carry you through those difficult times, or your health. When things don't make sense, and you don't have the answers of your health, or you don't have the understanding, or you don't understand why you're in a certain situation, trust. Blessed is the man who trusts in God, right? Trust is truly blind faith, right? We trust God, but we trust him because of his word. Amen. I like that word, that passage says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." It's not hidden that God is good. It's not some revelation that you have to wait for or a vision, right? We don't believe in that anyway. But God says, taste and see. Where do we taste and where do we see that the Lord is good? Right here. You're like, well, I'm looking for it in some, you know, Christian movie. It ain't there. It's right here in his word, okay? And it sounds like the Lord's doing some sound effects here, right? Outside. It's getting windy out there. Blessed, but blessed is the man, right? Let's turn to Psalm 40 and verse number 4. Verse number 4, Psalm chapter 40. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. How are we blessed? The Bible's explaining itself. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. You know that word maketh is an action. You don't just sit around in a dark room and say, God, make me trust. No, trust is an action. Obedience is an action. That means your hands, your feet, your will, your heart have to make a choice, right? You have to choose that you're going to do what God's word says, right? We don't just sit and think about it. We have to obey and act upon it, right? Obedience, and as this passage says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Have you ever had to make yourself do something you didn't want to do? Like get out of bed, okay? Or go to work when you don't feel well, or go to work when you're tired, or take care of the kids or the baby in the middle of the night, you mothers, okay? You had to make yourself do something you didn't want to do. But as we trust God and we ask God for help and then we go, that is that act of faith. That action is trust. That is trusting God. And God is blessing, is going to bless you for that. Psalm 41, verse number 1. Blessed is he that considereth the poor, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. I used to think about this verse all the time. Back, we used to work in the bus ministry back in years ago, and worked with a lot of poor people, a lot of poor children, a lot of people that didn't have really anything in this life, a lot of people that were very needy. And I always thought about that. God, if you could take anything that I can help with the poor, God had blessed me, and I want to be that blessed person that considereth the poor. You know, be careful about casting judgment on people that don't have what you have, right? You don't know why they're in that situation. When we were ministered in Chicago, meet homeless people all the time, just like we do when we're in Minneapolis, street evangelism. And there's been many a time that your flesh, they're drunks or whatever, your flesh wants to lash out at them, but you don't know why they're there. Even if they are, we're to have compassion on their soul, right? Compassion on their condition. And just like the people we deal with on the street, and we're being ridiculed by them, right? Having compassion on the poor. But God has a lot to say about the poor and needy in the Word of God. That's a good Bible study on its own. Let's turn to Psalm 65, next one. Psalm 65 and verse number 4. Psalm 65 verse 4 says, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple." Let's turn to another passage, Psalm 84 and verse number 5. Psalm 84, verse number 5. "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee." Who's thee? God. Amen. "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee." Guess how you can know God's strength? By being weak. When you're weak, God's word says, "Then am I strong," right? That's only if you rely on him and ask him. If you're weak and you're staying weak, are you maybe you're not asking God for strength. And God's allowing you to stay weak, whatever that situation is in your life. But you say, "God, I have no strength today. God, I cannot make it on my own today. You're going to have to give me that strength, and I'm going to trust you for that strength." And God will, right? God will supply you with that strength. "Blessed is a man whose strength is in thee." Psalm 84, verse number 12. "O Holy Ghost," or O Lord of hosts, "blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." That's that blessed Christian, that blessed Christian. Psalm 89 and verse 15. 89:15 said, "Blessed is the people that shall know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance." Amen. When you know God and you have a relationship with God, the light of his countenance, you see God's countenance in his word, right? His blessing you with things, with things in your life, right? God wants to bless you more. Okay, we are blessed, but God wants you to be blessed even more. He wants you to be a fruitful Christian and a joyful and a happy Christian, right? In him. Verse 94, Psalm 94, verse 12. "Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest." Ooh. This one's a little more painful, right? Well, I want to be blessed, God, but I don't want it to hurt. What does the Bible say right here? "Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law." Boy, chastening rod is the best teacher, isn't it? As much as we'd love to learn and to learn God's word and learn his truths without pain, you know what? I don't know if any of us could actually admit we learn more by a lack of pain than we do by that chastening rod, right? We are a living example, right? We were children one day, or you're a child here today, and you might have experienced the chastening rod of your parents, your father, your mother, right? They had to correct your behavior, correct your direction. That rod, it hurts. But the peaceable fruit of righteousness is what follows. Amen. Well, God, it hurts. It could be a year of anguish in your life. It could be a period of time. It could be a period of time in your personal life or in your marriage or in your family that there's some pain. But that pain might be God's chasing rod, right? You know, there's some times that we get discouraged when things aren't going well. But if you just stop and think, God, what are you trying to teach me? And ask yourself that question. All of a sudden, you're reading God's word, and you say, like, God is, I see what you're doing now. I see how you're trying to change my will to just want your will, right? We're stubborn people, aren't we? You know, we want what we want when we want it, and we don't want anybody to tell us that we don't want it, okay? We're stubborn, right? We're very stubborn sometimes. But God has his way to soften us up, doesn't he? He's got, just like if you ever tenderize meat, right? You get that meat tenderizer going, and you're beating that piece of meat really hard, aren't you? Right? God is tenderizing our hearts. When we get hard-hearted, guess what? God's going to soften us up. God's going to bring some pain, some chastening to soften and tenderize our heart so that we would just say, yes, Lord, whatever your will is, God, I'll do it. Have you ever come to the Lord and said, God, if you took all my possessions away from me, I will follow you. God, if you told me to do this, that, or the other thing with everything I have, God, I would do it. Are we truly that surrendered in our heart? And you know what? That's something that we have to work on a daily basis. Turn to Psalm 112. Pray in verse number 1. Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. God gives us the answers right here, right? I want to be blessed, God. I want to be that blessed man, that blessed woman. Blessed is the man, or praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments, right? That's our text verse. Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Here we go. Again, God says it again. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Does that mean that we're never going to make a mistake? God, God, I'm sorry. I told you yesterday that I was going to follow you perfectly in this way. And then here I am again, failing. Is God like, okay, 3 strikes, you're out? No, he doesn't. That's where his mercies are new every morning. Amen? God gives you another day, another opportunity. You know, it's so easy to get down on ourselves when we fail God that we think, you know what? Boy, how could God give me another opportunity? How could he give me another chance? That's his mercy, right? That's his grace. We can't understand it. I cannot. If your good friend or if somebody that's close to you failed you day after day after day after day in the very same thing, your human flesh and your who you are would have a lot of trouble giving them another. You'd have a lot of a struggle to give them another opportunity, wouldn't you? But God never, his mercy is everlasting, right? He never gets tired of giving you another opportunity to obey. Amen? He's not like we are where we might cut somebody off because I'm done with you, right? But God isn't. That is not the Lord. The Lord is long-suffering. Amen? Psalm 128, verse number 1. Did I already read that one? Maybe I did. Blessed is everyone, yeah, that feareth the Lord. Proverbs 8:34, last one here in this section. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. You know what I think of? It's sad to say it's a carnal example. Black Friday, people camping out all night long to get the deals at a store. Forgive me if you're one of those people. I'm not trying to make fun of you. No, just kidding. But that's, they're waiting for that release or the shopping doors to open up and to trample everybody and grab that big screen TV, right? That's what they're waiting for, right? Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Amen? Just waiting. You're just waiting. You're God, I'm waiting. I want to hear from you. I'm waiting to hear from you. Amen. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Amen. Sometimes we talk so loud we can't hear God. Right? We talk so loud, we speak so much that we don't give the Lord an opportunity to speak to us. right? That's why the verse that talks about be still and know that I am God. God likes that stillness, the stillness of our heart, right? The stillness of our will, of our feet. He likes us to be still. He likes our hearts to be settled and still so he can speak to you. I think sometimes we get so full of technology and distractions and busyness of life that it's like a roller coaster in our heart and our mind. It's hard to settle down and to be still and to listen to God. Be still and know, right, that I am the Lord. All right, what does delight mean? Let's continue to read in our passage here. Blessed is the make sure I'm on the right verse. There we go. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly. Let's look up the word delighteth. A high degree of pleasure or satisfaction of mind, joy. Do you realize God has delight in you delighting in him? God wants you to love and be happy about him, right? Just like I love to be happy about my children's behavior. It gives me pleasure and joy, right, to see my children obey and do right. God has joy in us having joy in him. Amen. God is our heavenly Father. He loves it when his children obey him, when his children think about him, talk to him, sing to him, right? God delights in that, just like God delights he that delighteth greatly in his commandments. What else does it mean? Delighteth means to affect with great pleasure, to please highly, to give or afford high satisfaction or joy. As a beautiful landscape delights the eye, harmony delights the ear. The good conduct of children, and especially their piety, delights their parents. Amen. Nothing brings more joy to the Lord to see us delighting in him. Do we delight greatly in his commandments? So when I was reading this, just like I'm asking you the question, when you read a passage of scripture, ask the Lord this question, Lord, do I delight greatly in your commandments? What are commandments? Commandments, the definition is a mandate, an order, or injunction given by authority, a charge or precept. By the way of eminence, a precept of the Decalogue or moral law written on tables of stone at Mount Sinai. One of the Ten Commandments is another meaning of commandments. Authority. So commandments of God is this book right here. When God says in his word to do something and commands us to do something, these are his commandments right here. The Bible says, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Greatly, right? Is it adjective or adverb? Adverb, I think it is, right? The word greatly. I'm striking out here on the English there. But it's to modify or it's to add to the word delighteth, right? He delighteth greatly, right? There's a level of expectation. There's a higher level of delighting, right? What's delight? Delight is that joy. Delight is that pleasure to please, right? Do you desire to please the Lord? Do you desire? Do you have joy or desire to obey his commands, his commandments? How do I delight or have great pleasure in his commandments? Do you ask yourself that? How do I? Well, start simple. If you're a child here today, do I obey God? God is our first authority. Do I obey him by spending time with him daily, by reading his word, by prayer? Do I obey God by obeying my parents? Because that's part of obeying God. Do I obey God, if you're a wife here, by obeying my husband? Okay, do we obey our authorities in our life? That's a great place to start with obedience to God. We can't be obedient Christian and disobey God's authority. It will not work. Okay, we're not Catholic. We don't believe in our good sins or our good deeds outweighing our bad deeds. So for all the times I'm disobedient to my husband, then I'll do these things for God, and then if it equals out, I'll be good. No, that's not how God is. We obey God by obeying the authorities he put in our lives, right? And that is an act of faith, right? That is trust. That is trusting God by trusting the authority and trusting the direction of authority God has put in your life. Matthew 22, verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So if you need a place to start with obeying God's commandment, here's a great place to start right there. Amen? Because that will take our whole life to accomplish. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. You know, when you look at this world, the world gives it their all for their cause, right? The world, they'll give their whole heart to a lustful desire, which might destroy their life, but they give it their all. When we're out on the street preaching and there's people just wailing and screaming at us of their obscenities and of their wicked antichrist lifestyle, they're passionate about what they believe, aren't they, brother? I mean, they will stand up and they will try to defy us to our face as we preach God's word. They are all in on what they believe. Are we all in for what we believe? Are we all in by obeying God's commandments? Are we giving it our all? Young people, are you giving it your all with your walk with God? You fathers, are you giving it your all as a father in the home and as a husband to your wife? Are you giving your all? Right? Many times we give our attention and our love to things that fade away, right? Whether it's a possession or whether it's a goal, a personal goal. Things that might not matter for all eternity, right? And we have to get back on track and we have to give our all for Christ, right? Be sold out, right? That's a term that I remember hearing a lot growing up. Just be sold out, right? Give everything to the Lord. Give your time, your attention, your thoughts. Just give it all. Don't hold on to anything. Say, God, you can have all these things, but I'm going to hold on to this. God says, give it all. Give everything. Right to him. Be willing to give everything to the Lord. If he asks for it, give it to him. Well, God, that makes me uncomfortable. Give it to him, right? God wants to, he wants everything from us. He wants you willing to give everything to him. John 13, 34, we're almost through here. A new commandment I give unto you. Here's that word commandment, right? God's word explains God's word. You do a word study. You learn what the dictionary says about that word, and then you look it up in God's in the Bible. John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. There's another commandment. Well, God, how do I obey your commandments? There's a commandment we can obey, right? Love one another, right? Well, it's not fun always to love somebody that God tells you to love. But that's trust, right? When you love somebody that your flesh says don't love, and you act on that obedience, that is your trust in God that I'm going to obey. I don't understand what the outcome will be, but I'm going to obey anyway. And God blesses that. And God says, you will be that blessed one, that blessed person. If and when we get farther down this chapter, I want to talk, I have a whole study on a good man. Okay, the Bible has a good man in verse 5, and I want to talk about that, but we'll hopefully get there here soon, maybe by next week. John 14:31, I'm sorry, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do. Boy, we should memorize that prayer every single day. And as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Not I debate with you, Lord. Not that I argue with you. Not that I try to make a deal. But I love you and I do it. A sir, yes, sir, right? And we do it, right? We obey. Unconditional obedience. Amen? By faith, we obey. John 15:12, this is my commandment. Okay, God, I want to obey your commandments. Here we go. That ye love one another as I have loved you. Amen. That is how we can act on the scripture we just read. That blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. So I'm going to delight in doing these commandments. I'm going to delight. I'm going to have joy, and I'm going to have pleasure spiritually to obey God's commandments. So in closing here, some thoughts to consider. Some questions here, okay, that I would ask myself and that any of us should ask ourselves today. Is disobedience delighting in his commandments? No, right? We know the answer to that one. Of course it isn't. Do I delight in his commands? Okay, it's like children, when you're told to do something and you're commanded by your parents or authority to do something, is it a grumbling and complaining? Or is it, yes, ma'am, with a delightful sound? Yes, sir, with a delightful sound? Or is it, well, okay, if I have to, that kind of attitude. You know, we do the same thing to God, don't we? You know, whether it comes to giving our time, giving our money, giving our love and attention, giving our commitment, we're like, okay, Lord, I guess I will. You know, like you answer your parents, or like we can get that in our heart and get that hardness in our heart. But do I delight in his commands? You know, I'm excited, God, you gave me another job to do, right? I'm excited that you gave me another command in your word today. You know, I got a lot to do on the one for you taught me yesterday, but I am glad you taught me this one today. And you have that delight, right? It comes out when the Holy Ghost works in your heart, right? To delight in his commands. Next, do I seek to follow his book? Well, I tried one time. No. God, this is the Christian life, not the Christian day. Your Christian life isn't one day. It's your whole life, right? It's when you're 95, 112, however old you get to be, and you're in your rocking chair and you can hardly speak, but you can read God's word or somebody can read it to you. That means it's your delight till the grave, right? That's why this race that we run is a marathon. It's not a sprint, right? We're like, well, man, I wish I could be one of those, you know, those marathon runners, and they're hardly winded, you know, and they're halfway through the marathon. Well, maybe someday you will be, right? But in your point in that your spot in the race is where you are, right? You're not expected to be in the same place as the race, maybe somebody farther ahead. Maybe somebody that has lived the Christian life a little longer, or they've gone through different trials and they're in a different place in the race, right? But do I seek to follow? Do I delight in his commands? Thirdly, I said, do you seek to follow his book? Next, do I study his word? You know, especially in the morning times, many of us probably don't wake up bright-eyed and bush-tailed, you know, wide awake, you know, vibrant. You might take you a few minutes or a few cups of coffee or a 30-minute shower to wake up. I don't know, however you get up in the morning. But all I know is if I don't get my brain, the hamster wheel, moving, I'm going to zone out, right? It's easy. Our flesh gets weary. Our flesh gets tired. It's easy to lose track of what God is trying to teach us in his word. Very easy. Just like prayer. When you pray, a good thing to do is to stand up or to walk and pray, because you won't fall asleep. But God, and I've said this before, and I'll say it for a long time, God's word, uses the phrase walking with God. Walk with God. I think physically that's a great thing to do, to walk with God and pray. It's a very good thing to do. Do I study his word? Next, am I studying to show myself approved unto God, or am I studying to show myself approved unto men? Well, how could that be? Am I motivated to study God's word for my walk with him, or am I motivated to study his word so I can demonstrate that to men? Okay, we could get very self-righteous very quickly with anything, any kind of truth that we learn, any kind of knowledge that we have. We could easily use that and get puffed up with that. But am I studying myself? They're studying to show myself approved unto God and not men. Another question, does my fear or uneasiness of mind upon the thought of the future evil that likely will befall us, does that fear produce in me, let's see, I'm sorry, my phrase is not coming out correctly here. Does the Lord produce in me, or does God and his word produce in me joy for his commandments? The fruit of my life, the fruit of reading his word, the fruit of dwelling in him, of studying his commandments, does that produce that joy, that delight in his commandments? Because it will. Right? When we're sincerely seeking God's word, he will show that. He will give you that in your life. So this blessed is the man, is the one who fears the Lord, is the one that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Amen. And we'll pick up verse 2 probably Sunday or next Wednesday. And but just think about when you're reading God's word, right? We can take a lot out of one passage of scripture, can't we? We use a dictionary, amen. We write it down that we can understand it and look at it more than once. We use God's word to explain itself in a word study. And before you know it, you might be halfway through one verse and you've got page after page, or you've got day after day after day of your Bible study with God. Amen. And that's how God will grow you in your life. And it will work every time. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you for your word. What a gold mine it is, Lord, in our lives. And that if we just, by faith, Lord, act on obedience to your word, God, that we would see things change, Lord, in our attitudes and our will, Lord, towards you. And God, help us to be sincere in all that we do. And help us, Lord, to be better Christians this week. And Lord, help us to love one another like we should. Love our spouse like we ought to. Love the unlovely. God, there's many people out there that are walking around in this world, Lord, that needs somebody to care about them, to show and share the gospel with them, to pray for them, to give them a word of encouragement, Lord, starting in the house of God, and then, Lord, in the sick and lost and dying world out there that we live with, Lord, and that we work with. Father, I pray that you would just do a work in us. And Father, like we mentioned Sunday, Lord, our marriages will be stronger as we're founded on the Word of God daily, as every wife and every husband is in the book and learning of you and tasting and seeing of your goodness, Lord. How our fellowship between spouses and family members and between this church, Lord, will be more sweet and more sincere and more lasting, God, and more abiding, Lord, as we abide in Christ. And Father, help us, Lord, today. Lord, we're but flesh. And Lord, we thank you for your mercy on us, and thank you that you give us an opportunity to obey. When we fail, and when we bring and confess it to you, God, you forgive. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to live that victorious Christian life here the rest of this week, and bring us back again on Sunday, Lord, rejoicing in what you've done in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.